Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel to continue our discussion of being partakers with Christ, the partakers of the life of Christ. And we said the only way to be a partaker, we have to first be a, we have to learn to rest in Him. We have to understand that when coming to Christ, we cease from our own efforts, our own labors to be right or to try to live for Him or to try to be holy. See? And so we were talking about initially resting and how God wants us to rest in order to receive all the benefits, be a partaker or partner with Christ in the shared benefits of what He has for us. And so we looked at the example of the Hebrews and the Israelites when they were in Egypt, and then they came from Egypt and went to the wilderness, and God was trying to get them into a position of rest so they can inherit the promise, okay? So this rest we're dealing with, in order to obtain, we have to first rest when we're justified. We come to Christ, we have to cease from our efforts and our labor. And then we also have to rest. There's a cessation of our own efforts, of our own strength, our own ability. We have to learn how to rest in order to become an overcomer, in order to partake of the life of Christ, to be able to stand in this world system. Okay?
Amen.
We can't stand against Satan in our natural strength and ability. We don't have a power. We don't have the power in and of ourselves to stand against this powerful being. Okay? The only thing that's able to stand against or overcome, I'm getting a little feedback in one of the lines, I'm not sure, but the only thing that was able to oust or overcome Satan was Christ's death at the cross. His death is what made it possible. Remember, and I keep saying these things because repetition is good, because we have to learn these things in order to grow. We have to get an understanding of it so we can mature and go on and comprehend the whole plan of God. Okay? Are y'all getting some feedback?
A little.
Okay. I may have to mute some lines just to remove that. So, but we have to understand that God is trying to get something to us. And so we were in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, and we're talking about how these Israelites, they forfeited the promises or the inheritance of God. These people were saved, okay? They were in Egypt, and they were God's people. They were His chosen people then while they were in Egypt, right? Remember, Jacob came out of Canaan, and he went into Egypt over there with Joseph, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they prospered, but then a king had rose up that knew not Joseph. And he saw these people prospering. The enemy does not want us to prosper. He doesn't want us to have the more abundant life. And he sought to enslave them. See, this is what Satan, the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of Satan wants. He wants to enslave the Christian, bring us into bondage, okay? But God's remedy for that was, He said, "Let my people go." He told Pharaoh that. They did not see the instant results, right? Even though God raised up Moses and Aaron came and they confronted Pharaoh and Pharaoh's heart got hardened and the trial and the crisis got worse, right?
Yes.
And most people would say, "Where is God?" And they murmured and they complained. They took up stones to do what to Moses?
Stone.
Right.
Stone.
Right. So they went crying to Pharaoh saying, "Look, you made the workload harder, and now we got to go get our own straw to make our bricks, and how we can't do that." And Pharaoh said, "You're idle. If you want you coming to me talking about being free, I'm going to make it harder." So always understand that the enemy is going to make things harder. When God starts talking about, we talk about in John 8, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free."
The enemy does not want us to get truth, okay? And he's going to come at us when truths start arising, because the enemy does not want us to be partakers of the life of Christ. Being a partaker of the life of Christ means that the very spirit that Christ leaned upon when he walked the earth as a man, fully God but yet fully man, he relied upon the Spirit of God. And he had the Spirit of God without measure because he was not limited by a sinful nature. And so the life of Christ, when he walked the earth, demons knew. See this? Son of man, our time is not yet. They knew. Because this life, they knew him as the deity of God, Son of God, and Son of man. So my point is, as God's life is allowed free flow in our life, as we are removed out of the way, as we lay aside our will and pick up his will, God in exchange will give us his life.
Amen.
Okay? And this life is just simply the Spirit of God who's in you and I. The Spirit of God is in us. We're the temple. He's waiting to make his abode. That's what it says in John. That means he wants to settle down in us, because most of the time we receive the Spirit, but that's not necessarily an indication that I'm empowered by the Spirit. It doesn't automatically work. What makes the Spirit work in my life is when he sees faith. That's what energizes him. That's what gives him the freedom to move, okay?
Amen.
If I'm not exhibiting faith, and as we were looking in John 8, those folks wanted to follow Christ, and he said to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word. A lot of people want to follow Christ, and we want to continue in the word, but when the word comes to confront us, and the area of our life, the bondages of our life, I got to be willing to do a self-examination and to see myself as God sees me. See this?
Amen.
And we're going to go back over there in a second in John 8. Matter of fact, Sister Cherry, I know I told y'all Hebrews, but let's go back to John 8. Keep your finger bookmarked Hebrews chapter 3. And I like just going as the Spirit leads. And so in John 8, we see that God was desiring to get something to these people. He wanted to set them free from the bondage of the flesh, of sin, the world, and Satan. Although Christ pronounced us free or innocent or not guilty, the reality is salvation or embrace or justification is the starting line of your walk to be changed, my walk to be changed, and to be conformed into the image of Christ, where the life of Christ is in me to help me to overcome. And we're still talking about being a partaker of his life, having the inheritance. If we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, then we should be able to partake of what he accomplished for us at Cap, the benefits. Most Christians never reach that because we don't know how to rest, one. We're too busy trying to earn or work for salvation or holiness or whatever, right? Remember, we try to do it externally. But there's a process that takes place by the Spirit of God. When he sees faith, it is the grace of God that has been given or allowed access to flow freely in my life where I can exhibit that. Like, I don't have to work, oh, Lord, am I right? I don't do that. I don't have to just, oh, is this right? Did I do that right? No, the Spirit will work in me, and it will come as naturally as breathing, because he's going to start putting the will and the desire in you and I, and we'll be prompted by the Spirit to do whatever he requires. That makes sense?
Amen.
Okay. So back in John 8, and I just want to go here because I want us to see that God is trying to get something to us, but we oftentimes get in the way of the Spirit of God. And I think it was verse 30.
34.
We'll start at 31 just to get the context, and then we'll go down.
Okay.
So 31.
Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.
All right, so now see here, he says, if you continue, there's a condition, right?
Mm-hmm.
The condition is that we must continue in the word, but not only that, the word is activated when faith is behind it. That's the only way, because I can read the word, I can quote the word, but if they remember, the word's supposed to become spirit and life. So it's not an automatic for the word to just work in my life because I'm a Christian. It will automatically work when I allow the Spirit of God, when I put my faith in the right object, saying, Lord, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels, how I feel. I'm trusting you despite what it looks like and how I feel. Because you said, he that began a good work shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This good work, if he began it, he's going to complete it, right? So the enemy will have us to think, well, you ain't delivered from this, and you just here, and you there, you're not doing nothing for the Lord. No, see, there's a process, and there each of us have a walk. And some, we don't know where each of us are in this process. And if it's at the point where, like Mary, she had to move away from what she was doing externally and sit and rest at the foot of Christ to learn, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn of me, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So that is a process. We're all not at the same level, same process. We have to go where we're at. And oftentimes we put our focus on where other people are.
Mm-hmm.
And try to walk in the power of or of the anointing or whatever where they're at. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And we have to learn to taste and see for ourselves. We can't just go, okay, that's Donnie McClurkin's anointing. Lord, I want that anointing. Well, you don't know what that person had to go through and to get where they're at now. Just like all of us, we have to go through our walk individually so that the Spirit of God can develop us. So he tells them here, if you can, he said to the Jews that believe, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So if we continue in his word, we're going to have to continue to exhibit faith in his word. And then he says, and then what will happen? Verse 32.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
So it is truth that you come to know. See, Mary came to know, Mary that sat at Jesus' feet, she came to know truth. That made her free. I think she was like one of the first ones to see Christ and believe him and went and carried the message to the disciples who were somewhere, you know, depressed, oppressed, didn't even remember what Christ said and won't even looking for him to resurrect. Y'all remember?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So she was given a revelation because what? She chose to learn of him, sit at his. Remember, he said she's chosen the best part. So if we're going to continue in be his disciples, we're going to have to continue in his word. And if we continue in his word, truth, the truth that we come to know. See, every day the Holy Spirit is giving us a revelation of Christ as truth. That revelation will help you and I in our right now life and situation. He will unveil us of all these blinders that we've had. See, the world system, and we were talking about this last week, when God created the world, and it's in Hebrews, he showed how he created the earth, the foundations of the earth. The world system wasn't introduced when God created or Christ created the foundations of the earth, okay? What the world system entered, which is, we said last week, the world system, which is the world in the Greek, means cosmos. And what it is an ordered system. An ordered system that entered in. This was a corrupt system that entered in, and it governs those that are the inhabitants of the earth. So what man did, he was called to subdue the earth and have dominion. We lost that. See this? We lost that at the fall. Satan is a usurper of authority. He tried to usurp the authority of God. He wanted to usurp his throne. He wanted to be like the Most High God. And for his rebellion, he was kicked out, right?
Amen. Amen.
Now, he's not judged yet. The judgment is there, but the pronouncement was there. But as of now, Satan still has access to the heavenlies. Y'all see what I'm saying? But at, there's going to come a time because he legally or he deceptively usurped the authority of man, and now man, because he chose to obey Satan, is under the authority of Satan and his minions, the principalities, the powers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You see this? So man only knows that if he sinned, if he dies in a state apart from God, separated from God in his fallen state, he will ultimately die and go to hell, be eternally lost. That's all man knows. That's the bondage of that's held over man's head, death. But Christ came and conquered death, hell, and the grave. But only to those who choose to believe and continue in his word. See this?
Amen.
So we become a disciple, and the word disciple is a learner. See, we have to every day, this is why we have to be renewed daily. Be ye transformed how? The only way I'm going to be changed by truth is by renewing my mind, because I'm coming in contact with truth. You see this?
Amen.
So I want to go to Romans 12, and we're going to do some finger exercising, so y'all deal with me.
Don't show me, okay?
Let me see. Romans 12, because I want to paint this. We're talking about dealing with truth. He says, if you continue in his word, then you are my disciples indeed or in reality, a learner, and you shall know the truth. See, we every day we're learning, but we're learning truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth you know is going to make you and I free, okay? So he says in Romans 12, 1.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Now, you and I can't do this in the energy of our own strength, our own might and ability. There's a lot of Christians trying to present themselves as a living sacrifice. Okay, so this word present is the same as yield, okay? Surrender. Cease from your labor. Allow God the Holy Spirit to put to death some things in you. See, this is the hardest thing. Going to church is easy. Working in church is easy compared to presenting yourself a living sacrifice, meaning you got to come to God, but you're going to have to die to self. You and I are going to have to die to sin. We're going to have to die to this world system. That's what we came out of. So it's foreign to us. God's new system is foreign to us because that's not we're not used to it, okay? We're used to doing it in the energy of our own power, strength, efforts, and ability. But God calls us to disarm, mortify the deeds of the flesh, put to death. You see what I'm saying? So God says, this is what you and I are to do. Paul says this, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It says the word sacrifice speaks of the sacrifice of Christ and means that we cannot do this which the Holy Spirit demands. Remember, God's not putting the demand on us. It's on the Holy Spirit when I am crucified, dead to self. See, I have to understand being crucified to Christ. And then Paul said he was, and the world was also crucified unto him. You see this? He was dead to the cosmos, meaning that this world system that Satan controls, everything about it, from politics to education to the science to the medical, all of that is controlled by the enemy. I'm not saying it's bad in every aspect, but I'm saying the ruler behind it that controlled the system of it, okay, it comes from the spirit of darkness. Satan is the ruler of this world system. He got it through the fall of Adam and Eve. So what God did, he placed us, he said, I placed you in the midst of darkness to shine as light. A lot of us conform to the world, and we're going to keep reading this, Now notice he says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. This is what the Holy Spirit comes to do in the process of sanctification. He comes to make me holy, separated from sin, apart from that which the world system applauds. And then acceptable unto God means that a holy physical body or temple is all that he will accept. I got to be separated, see, from those things that are contrary to God. I'm in the world. He's not telling me to come out of this world, but he's not telling me to separate from people and go. He's not saying go into isolation. He's saying be ye separate. Don't partake of the same things that the world partakes in and applaud in. And y'all understand what I'm saying?
Right.
He says this is your reasonable service. But only as you and I look to the cross. We can't do this in our strength. It's impossible with us.
Amen.
See this? So verse 2.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
You see? So there, this is where we have to see. He says, and be not conformed to the world, this world, the ways of this world system. Again, it's talking about this cosmos that's controlled by this ordered system of demonic spirits or evil spirits, Satan and his minions. We cannot be conformed. The word conformed means schismatizo. I'm not saying it right in right in the Greek, but it refers to the act of an individual. I'm telling you the Greek meaning of this. It's the act of an individual assuming an outward expression that does not come from within him, nor is it representative of his inner heart life. And what this is saying is now that the Spirit of God or the divine nature is in you, it's saying that you're conforming to the world. You're externally acting like that, which is contrary to what's in you. The Spirit of God is in you, but you're not acting like it. That makes sense? So you're assuming an outward expression that does not come from within you. So the Spirit is there to change us into the image, to make us holy and acceptable unto God. But this person, when he says, be not conformed to this world, they're acting externally like the world. In other words, it says, stop assuming an outward expression which is patterned after this world, an expression which does not come from, nor is it representative of what you are in your inner being as a regenerated child of God. That's what it says. How many of us as Christians, you see it all the time, I see a lot of these gospel artists, and I can't even listen to the radio. I done told y'all, I love God. You love God? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm not demeaning the individuals, but what are they saying? They're just trying to be like the world. They don't even say love. I love. Y'all hear me? They're masquerading. Now, they're claiming to be Christians, but they're not. They're having an outward expression, which is patterned after this world. You see what I'm trying to say? And it doesn't come from the Spirit of God that dwells, supposedly dwells within. Too many Christians are trying to please the world, embrace the things of the world. We've gotten away from the hymns. That's where the power was in most of the hymns. But you listen to the music, it's all about the beat. The sound, the beat is the first thing that make you want to, when your body start moving first. Y'all know how it is. You hear the beat of a song, and the words are just, I love God. You don't love God, what's wrong with you? And I use that song simply because it's not saying anything. Singing should be no different than preaching the gospel, and that's what most of those hymns did. At the cross, where I first saw the light. and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. See that?
Amen.
You see? Amen. And what are we hearing today is this phrases that's really not explaining. See, singing the gospel, you singing it is no different than you preaching it, because the words is what's in the words. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So the world, it says here, is all that floating mass of thoughts, opinions, speculations, hopes, impulses, aims, aspirations, at any time current in the world, which it may be impossible to seize and accurately define. So all these, it says here, it's cosmos. The subtle informing spirit of the cosmos, or world of men who are living alienated and apart from God. So he says, be not conformed to this world, but, here we go, be what?
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
You see this? So it says here, let me give you the definition of this right here. It says, therefore, Paul says in effect to the saints, change your outward expression from that which you had before salvation, an expression which came from your totally depraved nature and was representative of it, to an expression which comes from your regenerated inner being and is representative of it. The saint is to do this. How are we to do that? By renewing his mind, okay? I can't do this in my strength, but I can yield, present myself, rest in him, learn of him, take his yoke, okay? And when I put my faith in the cross, this is what the Spirit will do. He will start renewing my mind.
Yes.
Okay? And this says it's the gradual conforming of the man more and more to that new spiritual world into which he has been introduced. Remember I said the things of God are foreign to us when we first come to Christ?
Right.
And as we're being changed, it's different from our thought process. So we have to learn how to rest or cease from our efforts to learn his way. So faith calls you and I to, it causes the Holy Spirit to be empowered to do what he's called to do. The reason why he's been placed in our lives is to make us holy, to change us, okay, to regenerate us.
Amen.
So now he says, you're used to that world system where they said if you hit me, I hit you back. I only do good to you if you do good to me. See, that's a system that we came from. But Christ said, love your enemies. Do good to those that despitefully use you. We can't do that in our strength. All we know is what we came out of.
Amen.
You see, that's all we know. But the Spirit of God will gradually conform us more and more to that new spiritual world into which we've been introduced in and in which he now lives and moves. So the restoration of the divine image. Remember, God is trying to restore us back to our divine image, the image that we were or Adam was. See, Adam was a son of God. After Adam fell and had children, we are sons of men. We're in the likeness of man. See, God's trying to get us back. That's why Christ called himself son of God and son of man, because he had to be our representative man.
Amen.
He was the begotten of the Father, the Son, but he had to get us back, mankind back from the fall. And the only way was through the death. He had to be fully God and fully man, but he laid aside the expression of his deity as God. He didn't come to earth to express himself as God. He expressed himself as a man. Why? Because the first Adam lost it as a man. And so he endured all the temptations. See, Adam had a righteous or a divine spirit, put it that way, a righteous spirit. That's when he fell in that state. He wasn't falling. He had a right spirit, put it that way. When he fell in an upright position. Christ had the Spirit of God. He could have fallen. But he could not use his powers as God. He could have, but he did not. Had he used it as God, he would have been disqualified as a redeemer. Why? Because a man lost it and a man had to regain it. You see this?
Amen.
This is the way. See, we have to get understanding. When we understand these things, then our walk becomes a lot easier. And all these preconceived ideas and these things, they start coming down. So this is why he says the truth you come to know. This is us getting truth. That's what's going to make us free.
Yeah.
Amen.
So there has to be a total renovation of our mind, our thinking, our way. See?
Amen.
So he says this right here. It says there defines the word a renewal or renovation or complete change for the better. That's what this is about. He's getting us back to this divine image where the Holy Spirit, divine nature in us, is changing us day by day to where we get the mind of Christ. We act like like Christ when he walked the earth. When I say act, I'm not talking about mimicking him. I'm talking about when situations arose, we'll start responding by depending on the Spirit. He depended on the Spirit for everything. Even when it was time for him to die, he waited on the Spirit to tell him it was time. So while he was there, he says, it is finished, right? Tetelestai. That's what it means in the Greek. It is finished. Tetelestai.
Amen.
And the Spirit told him to give up the ghost. He relied on the Spirit for every action, everything he did. So we have to do the same thing. And because of that, now he's exalted as Lord and Savior. He was given a name above every name. Now, this is going to be very important because in the millennial reign, he's going to set the kingdom. See, he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and he's going to make God, all God's enemies, his footstool. And the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. See this? It will be death. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15 so you can see this. Some of this, you know, we don't have time to go into, but I want to do it where you can see some of these scriptures. And when he conquers death at the end of the 1,000-year reign, he's going to hand the kingdom over to God the Father and rule. See, this was man was supposed to have dominion over the earth, subdue. See, Christ is doing that which man should have done. This is what the book of Revelation is about. It's the consummation of everything. It's everything coming back to God's original purpose. So we are headed. When we see wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff happening in the earth, know that these things may increase. Okay? He said, but the end is not yet.
Amen.
So we don't get stuck. We have to keep being renewed because he said, blessed is that person when he comes. He said, shall I find faith in the earth? See this?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Good. He said, blessed is that faithful and wise servant. God is looking for faithfulness no matter how difficult things are, no matter how much chaos and confusion has arisen in the earth. We have to continue because God is getting us to the point where we're about to obtain his inheritance. Now, there is a certain part of inheritance that we gain partially now, but in the future, you're going to have people on thrones, people helping Christ rule and reign, but it's all based upon your faithfulness now.
Amen.
See this? He said, if you suffer with me, sometimes we good to go with Christ, but when it comes, things start getting difficult, people start calling you names because you stand for this and stand for that. Some of us back away because we can't handle. He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. One of the greatest, the next great event after the rapture of the church is not the great tribulation, but the judgment seat of Christ. That's going to happen while all this stuff is going on the earth. The saints going to go up, and there's going to be it's called the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ, where we will be judged based upon what we did here on earth, our faithfulness to God here on earth. And there's going to be a lot of disappointed Christians because they're going to think it was about their external works that they did, external, but it didn't come from a heart. See this? Or a mind that was renewed. See, it was an outward expression, but it didn't come from a divine influence. Y'all see this? There are a lot of Christians that are doing an outward things that look good to man. We're masquerading. We're conforming to the world, but we're feeding the poor. We're doing great community things. We're teaching and preaching. But inwardly, is it coming as a result of the Spirit of God prompting you and I to do it? By being changed from the inside? You see, we put on this fake love, oh, I love you, sister, and then go home and talk junk about it.
Amen.
See, he's like, uh-uh. He said, every idle word is going to be, we're going to hear it again. Every word that we said that was idle, meaning that we did not lie. We said we were something, but we weren't. He said, receive not the grace of God in vain.
Amen.
Y'all see what I'm saying? So we can't, we think when he says we take the name of the Lord in vain, we think it's cursing. It's not talking about cursing. It's talking about when we say I'm something and we in vain don't allow it to come to complete fruition in our life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See what I'm saying? So we're taking the name of the Lord in vain.
Amen.
We condense down to cursing. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to interject on this. When you was talking about the saints going to have to answer to every word, and you said how they was going to be disappointed. We can't take our plaques and certificates and show God what we did.
Amen.
I just want to say, you know, we think, you know, all these plaques and trophies and things that man gave us, God, I want to see that.
Amen. Only what we, as the song says, is only what we do for Christ will last. Only what was prompted by the Spirit of God. Only what the Spirit of God ordered you to do, and you responded by faith. It's not these external things that we force ourselves to do because we wanted a pat on the back or we wanted to look the part externally. But it's what came from a heart that loved God, that treat all men. See what I'm saying? Whether they like you or not, or whether they're family or not, you know, we have to love all the saints, all men.
Mm-hmm.
It says, when the saint, in dependence upon the Spirit, renovates his mental processes, the result will be that he will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's only when the saint, in dependence upon the Spirit, renovates his mental process, that the result will be, then we will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See this?
Amen.
Many people out there trying to do all these things externally, and they've not ordered their behavior based upon the sphere of the Holy Spirit or by means of the Holy Spirit. It's all in the energy. And this is why he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, because truth is activated when faith is in it. When faith is in the word of God or in Christ, he said, if you continue in my word, then the Holy Spirit, as the word of God as truth, is empowered. Remember, he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save the soul. Here we go again, save. What is it saving? The soul. Emotion. Our emotions, our mind, our will. See that?
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. See, when the word of God is energized by faith in the cross, the Holy Spirit now can use it to cut deep down into our heart and life and to bring to surface the true intent and the motives of the heart that are contrary to him and his way, so it can be removed. That's going to take you and I being honest with God and ourselves. See, a lot of times we're not honest with God or ourselves. We just, oh, yeah, I love you, Lord. Uh-huh, yes. And we're not honest. We have to do a true assessment And sometimes God has to bring down the Uzziahs in our heart and lives that prevent us from acknowledging and being real with God. It said when King Uzziah died, that's what Isaiah and all the Israelites, they put their hope in that king. He was a good king initially, but then he thought he could offer a sacrifice in the role of the priest, and I think leprosy struck him. But he was good for the nation for a while, so it's not about how you start, it's how you finish. Every day we have to habitually be ordering our behavior within the sphere of the Spirit of God. When our faith is in the cross, when your faith is in the cross, my faith is in the cross, it will energize the Spirit of God to work. So when I'm dependent upon the Spirit, He will help me to renovate my mental process. You see this? I told y'all I hated. I never was a reader growing up. I didn't like reading. But as we start yielding to the Spirit, guess what He'll start doing? Changing your mindset, your mental process, and you'll start, oh, wow. And then you'll start walking into it, and you don't be sitting back calculating, okay, I did this today, I did that. You'll automatically start doing it just like breathing, certain things. And then only after it happens, you'll be able to look back and say, look, I remember I didn't do this. I didn't like doing that. Amen. You start changing you. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, as a result of the Spirit's control of the mental processes of the saint, the latter is enabled to put his life to the test for the purpose of approving it. So the specifications being that it conformed to the word of God. And thus experiencing what obedience is to the word and finding out what it feels like to have the word saturate and control his life. This is a process. This
Amen.
Is a daily process where you and I have to yield our mind, our hearts, and our will and order our step behavior according to the sphere of the Holy Spirit. That makes sense? I don't want to confuse
Amen.
You. Any questions? All right. I think I told y'all to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I think it is, let me see. Okay, we'll start at verse 20. We're talking about the resurrection of the believers. This is where Paul brought this out. I just want to go here to show that Christ. This is why we have to put the emphasis on Christ and what he did at the cross. We have to get truth so we can be made free from the bondages, all these wrong teachings and upbringings that we were brought up in. It will help transform our lives and thinking and put those things out of the way. Remember, he's trying to remove these bondages, and we'll start seeing him in Scripture the proper way. Okay, we won't just see him because we want him to be a king. We want to force him to be a king. That's what the Jews did. They thought he was just the messianic king because they thought the time of the millennial was then. See, everything was delayed simply because of the fall. Because of the fall, Christ came to offer Israel at that time, and especially in Matthew, the kingdom of the heaven. He came to offer. They rejected him and instead crucified their Messiah. Because they were only looking for a glorious Messiah, one dressed in beautiful garbs and one that would come in kingly apparel and come with power, showing his power as king and ruler, and they wanted him to oust Rome. But remember, he had to address their hearts. He had to address sin. He had to address the error and all the disobedience that Israel had done throughout the years. So they didn't want to embrace him as a savior. They only wanted a glorious messianic king. And the Bible says in John 6, they were going to take him and force him to be a king. But Christ had to escape. Why? Because these people only wanted him to be the type of king that they desired. Remember, they wanted Saul. King Saul.
Amen.
They didn't want God. God had been over them and directing them all those years, and they said, give us a king so we can be like the world. This was their mindset still. They wanted Jesus only to be like a ruler of the world. That wasn't his purpose.
Right.
And many of us, we only want, oh, I love you, Lord, just to fix our problems.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make him a king over my life so I can show out and show, get him, Lord. They mess with me, zap them. Remember the disciples wanted Christ to call down fire from heaven? He said, you don't know what spirit you're speaking from.
Amen.
You see this? So when we don't allow our minds to be renewed, we're going to come from a wrong spirit. We're coming from a process, a thought process that's contrary to the way of God. See, he shows us mercy and grace. He gives us what we don't deserve. You see? Grace.
Amen.
And he withholds his wrath, which we do deserve, mercy.
Amen.
You see that? And us men, we just, somebody do something to us, we want to zap them. You know, they saw a man who was preaching in the name of Christ, but he wasn't following, and they were like, rebuke him. He's like, no. This is the natural inclination of the flesh. You see, we're totally contrary to God, and that's Christian and sinner alike. And unless we go through the process of Romans 12, 1 through 3, what we just read, we have to be renewed daily.
Amen.
We cannot get to the point where we think, okay, this is it. It is how God works. This is the way. No, you put him in a box. And God is always ever expanding, always revealing. See, we're supposed to build on top of, when we get revelation and understanding, we build on top of it. We build on top of the cross. He said, you lay the foundation across, but be careful how you build. And the Spirit of God is there to help build properly on that foundation. And everything that was built not based upon faith in the cross is going to burn in at the judgment seat of Christ in the fire. Okay? That's the Bema seat where we're not judged, the Christians, but our works, what we did here on earth. Okay?
Amen.
So in 1 Corinthians, I told y'all, any questions before we go further? Chapter 15, and I think I said verse 20.
Mm-hmm. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept.
So I'm going to read the notes with you, Sister Cherry. So it says, the resurrection of Christ guarantees the resurrection of all saints. Keep going.
For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead.
So the first man came death. That's talking about Adam, okay, and the fall in the Garden of Eden, and it speaks of spiritual death or separation from God. But by this next man, it's capitalized, came also the resurrection of the dead. So this refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, who atoned for all sin, thereby making it possible for man to be united once again with God, which guarantees the resurrection. That makes sense?
Amen.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. 22.
For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
So he's comparing the two. Because remember, Adam was the first Adam, and then you had the last Adam, Christ. So, for as in Adam all died, spiritual death or separation from God, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So in the first man all died, in the second man all shall be made alive, at least all who will believe. See, this is why faith is so important. Faith is so important because truth is going to make us free. See?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going, Sister Terry.
But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruit. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming.
Okay, so it says Christ first and then all believers thereafter. Every man in his order. That's what it's talking about. Christ had to die. Remember, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bring forth much fruit. See that, John 12, okay? So he had to die in order to bring forth more fruit or much fruit, which is us, believers. Amen. So Christ, he was the first one raised from the dead. Christ, the first fruit, he was the first one to be raised from the dead, never to die again. Afterwards, they who are Christ at his coming. So this pertains to the rapture at his coming of the church. See?
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power.
Now, when it says then comes the end, it doesn't refer, it's not talking about the, right after the rapture. It's talking about the time, the second coming, or even the second coming. But no, it says it's not immediately talking about, it's not referring to the time immediately following the rapture or even the second coming, but rather to when all satanic rule and authority have been put down, which will take place at the conclusion of the millennial reign. Remember I said earlier that Christ will rule for the 1,000 years?
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll deliver the kingdom to God the Father, and that's when God put, that's when heaven comes on earth, the kingdom of heaven, all that comes on earth, the new heaven, the new earth, and all that stuff. That's after the millennial reign when Christ gets rid of all the evil, Satan and all the people that refused to submit to his authority or didn't want to. And once that's him making the enemies, and we're going to see this in a minute. He says, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. What is this rule and authority and power? Remember when Satan usurped man at the fall? He was given, made the God of the world system. Christ, he will have put down all of Satan's rule. And it says the means of which were made possible by the cross and the resurrection. That's why he was given a name above every name.
Amen.
See this? So, see, we're heading towards a consummation of all things. God is getting back to getting his original plan in place. This is the purpose of the book of Revelation. We see things progressively headed towards the millennial kingdom. And he's going to destroy or round up Satan and all his minions. See this? This is what we're working towards. So all the evil and stuff you see in this world is a result of what Satan and his kingdom has done.
Yes.
See this? Man is a tool that he used, evil man, whose heart is not towards God. Just like God uses us, those who bend their hearts towards him in this world system to affect darkness, Satan uses dark men, men with dark hearts, to accomplish his goals, corruption. So you see men and women in positions of authority or what have you and doing corrupt things. Satan, they have sold themselves over unto Satan. Because of the love of money, greed, what does it matter? These men are corrupt in mind and heart, and they have turned themselves over. But God says, I placed you in darkness. And when they see the world, see the life of Christ, us partaking in the life of Christ by having a renewed mind and letting the Spirit of God impart his fruit in our lives, then when Christ comes to reign, we will be with him.
Amen.
And notice verse, I think it's verse 26 or 25.
25.
Okay.
For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet.
Now, the he is Jesus, must reign, refers to the 1,000 years, 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth after he returns, after the second coming. Now, remember, there's a difference between the rapture and the second coming. The rapture, he meets in midair, and Paul explains that in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. He says, the dead in Christ shall rise, and then those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up, and that's the rapture, and meet him. So he's not going to put his feet on the ground at the rapture. He's going to we'll be caught up in midair to meet him. The second coming, he comes with us on the earth to set up his kingdom during the battle of Armageddon when he defeats Satan and locks him up. And he will reign for 1,000 years till he put all the enemies under his feet. Okay?
Amen.
All the evil powers, all the folks that just, you know, whatever. He's going to put Satan and his minions, they're going to be put in the last enemy. He says, for he shall or must reign till all enemies be put under his feet. Next part, says Cherry.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Okay. Now, death, this is what, death is going to be abolished. Death is a result of sin. And that's in Romans 6:23. It says, and the cross addressed all sin. So after the resurrection, when all saints are given glorified bodies, it will be impossible to sin because we don't have the body that's hindering us anymore. We're given an incorruptible body, okay? It says, even during the millennial reign, sin will still be in the world, but not in the glorified saints. It will be eradicated when Satan and all his fallen angels and demons, plus all people who followed him, are cast into the lake of fire where they will remain forever. And that's in Revelation 20. Death will then be no more. So there will be no more death after that. People get sick when the kingdom is handed over to God at the end of the 1,000-year reign and during the millennial reign. They will eat from the tree. There's healing in the leaves. Y'all remember reading those scriptures?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The water will bring healing. They said the Dead Sea Scroll, whatever that water touch, it will bring life. See, so God's original intent, and I'm giving you an overview, and I keep saying these things because you have to understand when we see the bigger picture, it helps to put make everything else fall in place.
Amen.
And let me see how much time. Go ahead.
We're going to be floating up in the air in the sky, huh?
Say again, Cynthia.
We're going to be floating up in the air in the sky like most people think. We're going to be in heaven floating.
We're going to be just like Christ was when he walked. Remember the glorified body he had?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. We would be just like Christ was. His body went through a wall, but there was no blood, no flesh and blood. He ate.
Right.
You know, he won't, there's no aging. His body was the same as about what, in his 33, whatever. He was 33 when he, but it'll be in our 30. So there'll be no more. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's why the body is glorified now.
But so many people think that.
Yeah.
They think we're going to be in the sky, in heaven, in a heaven.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be there briefly for a while until, because we're going to be in heaven during they're going to have the judgment seat. There's going to be the bridal or the marriage of the Christ and all that stuff, the marriage supper and all that stuff. Remember the guy that was there with the garments and he wasn't supposed to be there?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be all that's going to be taking place up there. Until Christ returns with his bride, his church, with us, and he will return to do battle with Satan and then put his kingdom on the earth. And for 1,000 years, he hands it over, and then God the Father will be our all in all. And we're going to see this right here. Let me finish this verse, and then we'll close. Keep going, Sister Cherry. I think we stopped at
27. Uh-huh. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him.
All right. This reads clumsily, but it says, for he has put all things under his feet. So God the Father has put all things under the feet of Jesus. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under his feet or under him. So this has reference to the fact that all things do not include God the Father being made subject to Jesus, God is accepted, as should be obvious. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is actually handing everything back to the Father.
Amen.
That's what it's saying. God is accepted, but he's handing everything. So he's put, remember, he did all that to put his enemy under his feet. Everything was subdued. Right. So Christ, as the man, what we should have done, have dominion, subdue the earth, Christ did that which the last Adam didn't do. Y'all see that? So this is him fully man, Savior.
Amen.
Still filling that role. He accomplished everything. See what I'm saying?
Amen.
Okay, verse 29.
So he's going to give it back to the Father.
Yes,
oh,
that was
wow.
the
that's
the original
yeah.
intent. Because we
right.
Adam failed.
Right.
He just handed everything back. He's like, I did all this here, Father. I done conquered all your enemies. Here you go. What man should have done, I've done it. This is what we're heading towards. So, and next week, and I know I'm taking my time, but I have to paint the big picture first before we get into this being partakers of this inheritance. Because all of this, we're going to have a role to play in this kingdom and all this stuff based upon my faithfulness here on earth. And you will see where some were giving crowns, some were giving all these different rewards in the kingdom, and you'll see 24 thrones around the, because they're going to help Christ govern. See this?
Amen.
These are people that gave their lives to the death. They suffered with him. This is what he's saying while we're here on earth. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. You'll be stripped of whatever rewards. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You'll make it in, but you won't enjoy all this glorious, y'all see what I'm trying to say? You won't be able, the responsibilities, God can only give it to those who were faithful unto death. Committed to him to the end. Nothing matters. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they did, they stood in the face of great adversity, and they didn't waver. God's going to reward them for that. It's not talking about just this stuff, this external works we do that don't come from an inward prompting. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So,
mm-hmm.
Let's finish this out and then we'll close, y'all. I know I might be way over my time, but go ahead, Sister Terry. Let me check this here.
And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
So this implies that in Paul's day, this total dominion had not yet been exercised, and in fact has not done so until this present hour. But the time will come when it definitely shall be, which will be at the close of the millennial reign. So there will be no trace of evil left anywhere in the universe. Last one.
Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead?
Since Paul is actually saying it is a fruitless point to baptize for the dead, which is unscriptural anyway, if there is no resurrection as some are teaching. So what he was doing was refuting a false teaching about the resurrection of the dead. And that's why he went into explaining this part of the scriptures, because he had some people that were saying that there was no resurrection. And the Christians were getting confused because they were like, if there's no resurrection, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we having this hope? Why? What do we hope if we're not going to be resurrected and be with Christ and all this and that? So he had to correct this by going into details about it.
Okay.
So we're gonna continue. We're going to keep trying to go deeper into things because, like I said, I think when you see the bigger picture of stuff, it'll help us to understand our race here now.
Amen.
Paul said, I'm fighting. He said, I'm pressing toward the mark for a prize of the high call in Christ Jesus. This is what he's talking about. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to have done all this stuff and then be a castaway. It's not talking about losing his salvation. He's talking about losing, not completing the purposes that God called him to.
Jesus.
That's what he's talking about. He's talking about not fulfilling the goal that God has called him to. So he's not talking about his salvation. He's not scared about his name is written. He's justified. He's not talking about that. He's talking about what God called us to be, the goal of being holy, of accomplishing everything that he called us to accomplish and do and be in this life. He said, there is a crown that awaits me. He's pointing to this millennial. See what I'm saying? And we'll get into more of this next week, but I'm going to have to close. And I pray that we said some things that will help and clarify some misunderstanding in our teaching on tonight. So those on the line, hold on. We'll take questions and comments. And we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. And we pray that we said some things that will strengthen you in your walk. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.